So it seemed like it was just yesterday, September 29th, 2009. I was working down at the Carr Street campus where Gino is now, actually. We were in the second week of our launch down at Carr Street, and Ariel and I had been dating for a few months, and we walked out of church to a limousine parked right in front of the facility. Wow, a limousine. That's pretty cool. Can I get a yes? Limousines are cool. Walked out to the limousine, got inside the limousine, which was also pretty cool. And next thing you know, I was down on one knee in a limousine asking Ariel to marry me. Seems like it was just yesterday. Now, some of you who are, if you've been a part of FSM for any length of time, you probably know a little bit of our story. If you don't, though, I'm going to catch you up just a real quick, like fast forward version. Basically, it goes like this. I liked Ariel in high school. She did not like me, okay? I tried to pursue her kind of like Hayden did multiple times, and it did not go anywhere for me. It was not a good situation. She shot me down multiple times. Years later, I'm living at the student residence right across the street here. Ariel comes over to hang out with her friends, and the tables are now turned. She starts liking me. What? So cool. But I didn't like her. But didn't take very long. I came around, and then I guess the rest is sort of history. So our story is a bit unique, but it was in 2002 that was the last time that I'd actually tried to pursue her. And as I look back, I would say this. In 2002, I was absolutely not ready at all for any type of relationship. At all. I had no idea what I was getting myself into. I had no idea what I was really looking for in somebody. So between 2002 and 2009, when I asked her to marry me, that's 7 years. What happened in those 7 years? What happened in those 7 years between me trying to like Ariel and then me proposing? What happened in that time? I'll tell you what happened. A whole lot of wisdom building. A whole lot of mistakes, a whole lot of just stupid stuff that gave me wisdom to prepare me for that day in 2009. The reality is this, I had to strike out quite a few times before I was even ready for a relationship. And so as we've been in this series called Worth It, we're in the second to last week on this series about relationships. We feel it's important to talk about this stuff for a couple reasons. First off, many of you are at a place where you are dabbling in that area. You have boyfriends, you have girlfriends, or if you don't have a boyfriend, girlfriend, you're thinking about that kind of stuff. If you're not thinking about it, very soon you will be thinking about it, okay? Seniors who are graduating and going on, your mind's even further down the track of like what your future might look like. So for us, we feel it's important for us to talk about this because truthfully, it's on our minds quite often. And we feel like we want to come to you and just share some thoughts, some wisdom, some practical advice so that you can make great decisions in relationships, so that you can actually make better decisions than some of us made. So we want to take our wisdom and we want to impart it to you. And hopefully, if you are wise, you'll take that and you'll apply it and it will go great and well for you. So in that 7 year period of time, I learned a lot of stuff. And tonight I'm going to share with you some of the stuff that I learned. But what I want to do, I want to do it kind of in a unique way. What I learned was this: through my mistakes, through silly decisions and that kind of a thing, I learned what I'm going to call the three tests, okay? The three tests. And I'm going to go over each of the three tests as we go throughout our night. And my hope is this: as I describe what the three tests are, that it will help you when it comes to relationships. So guys, when you see a girl that you might like, that you're going to think, oh, Zach told me about the three tests. I need to walk through those. I need to run this girl through the three tests. Ladies, when that guy's coming up to you and he's like, you know, giving you the eyes, you can remember, oh, Zach told me about the three tests. I need to run this guy through the tests so that I make myself a very good decision. Now, for those of you who are not in a relationship right now, that's totally fine. Take this stuff and apply it. If you are in a relationship, listen to this stuff and apply it in your situation. Maybe, just maybe, it might cause you to make some different decisions in a relationship that you're in right now. So I'm going to share with you the three tests, and then at the end of my talk, I'm going to share with you three things that I learned in that 7 year period of time that I believe if you apply them, they're going to prepare you for relationships. Far, far better. So, before we go any further, next week, we're going to be doing something different. We'll be at coffee shops doing a panel discussion. We're going to have some fantastic panelists that you're going to be able to literally ask any question you want to about issues of dating and guys and girls and all that kind of thing. So what I'm going to ask you to do, this slide's going to be up most of the night, okay, except when I have a point, and then it will be back up. Text in any questions that you might have. We're going to use the questions you text in to kind of build that. So at any time during the night, if something comes up or, oh gosh, a question popped into your mind, or you're like Hayden, you're sitting by the girl, you go for the hand, it doesn't work for you, and you want to know, why didn't that work for me? Text it in. Next week, we'll have some great answers for you. Okay, let's get into this. And if you're taking notes, I would just say, you know, maybe these are some tests you can put into the notes page of your phone. It might be helpful for you. Okay, here we go. Test number one. This is a test that I learned in my 7 years of stupidity. It's the first test, and it's the spiritually compatible test. Up on the screen, it's going to say the spiritually compatible filter test, all right? This was the first test that I learned that I needed to apply. Now, this might seem like a no-brainer. It might seem like, Zach, you're a Christian. The spiritually compatible test? Of course. Of course you should do that. I would do it, so of course. Believe it or not, this test often, very often, gets overlooked. But why is this test so important? Why did I put this at number one? Because of this, you guys. As a follower of Jesus, if you are a follower of Jesus, this test makes all the difference in the world. But as important as it is, this test gets fudged with quite a bit. Okay? What I mean by that is this. Oftentimes, this test gets compromised a little bit. It gets compromised. But the purpose of this test is to see, is the person spiritually compatible with you? Are they spiritually on the same page with you? Are they spiritually on that same kind of level with you? I know in my 7 years, I compromised on that test a little bit. And sometimes it wasn't a big compromise. Like, I didn't, you know, decide to go out with an atheist, or I didn't decide to go out with a Buddhist, although there's attractive Buddhists and there's attractive atheists out there. I didn't go that far, but I fudged a little bit. In other words, maybe there was somebody that I was attracted to, and I knew that spiritually, they probably weren't in the same place as me. They probably didn't have the same values that I had when it came to Jesus. But you know what? They were a nice person. They went to church every so often. So, yeah, they count. They're good. They're good. I'll work on them. I fudged the test. And when you fudge that test, it never turns out great for you. It just doesn't. When I hear a student is interested in a guy or a girl, or if I see a couple kind of like starting to hang out a little bit, one of the first things I ask them, if I don't already know, I'll just ask, hey, is that person you're going, that's great, you're going out with them, are they a Christian? Is she a Christian? Is he a Christian? It's one of the first questions I ask. My wife, when she asks her girls, she asks it a little more like direct. She's like, well, do they love Jesus? Do they love Jesus? It's like the first question. And the reason we ask this question is because that question says everything. Okay? Now, what I'm about to say, this might not make sense right this moment, all right? But sit on it, chew on it, think about it. Relationships, one of the best pieces of wisdom I ever heard growing up, or when I was in my like young adult years, was this. Relationships, we think relationships are intended to make us happy. They're actually not. Relationships are intended to make us holy. So your relationship will be one of the biggest factors that determine how much or how little you grow in your spiritual life. And so I'll be honest with you. Oftentimes when I ask students, hey, is that guy you're going out with, is he a Christian? Or hey, is that girl you're going out with, is she a Christian? I am shocked oftentimes at some of the most spiritually mature students that I find, they cannot answer that question. They'll either say, you know, I don't really know. Or they'll say things like, I think so. We can't just think so, you guys. Spiritual compatible test is the number one most important test. 2 Corinthians says this verse. It says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Now, that's not saying that you need to avoid all people who are not Christians. That's not what that's saying. It's not saying that if somebody's not a Christian, there's no hope for them. It's not saying that. When it's talking about being yoked, it's being closely aligned with, closely associated with, in the form of a relationship. Because as you guys know, I don't have to tell you this, when you're in a relationship with somebody who is not compatible, whether it be spiritually or otherwise, somebody is not going to rise to the level that they need to rise. And oftentimes, it'd be the person who is spiritually more mature, they get dragged down a bit. So this is really important. When I first met Ariel, not first, when I later met Ariel, after those 7 years, I learned I need to apply this test. And so I applied the test on Ariel. I applied the test, and for the first time, I felt like, wow, this is a person that I feel that I'm spiritually compatible with. I feel like that we can actually be compatible in this way. I feel like we're kind of on the same page. I feel like we can challenge each other in the appropriate ways. Here's some of the questions that I asked. Here's how you actually apply this. Applying these tests requires questions. They require questions, and you have to be really, really honest to answer honestly the questions. I asked this question, does Jesus matter in her life? Answer was yes. From what I could tell, Jesus mattered very much in her life. Another question I asked, does her life fruit prove that Jesus matters in her life? Does her life fruit, the way that she asked, the way that she is, does it prove that Jesus matters in her life? And I felt yes, she was making decisions that was proving that Jesus was a priority. Third question I asked, would she help me grow? Would she help me grow? And I determined, yes, I think she'd help me grow. I learned from experience in those 7 years, I learned from experience that this is not a test that I was ever going to compromise on again. I was not going to compromise on that test because I knew the stakes of what that would mean. So you guys, when it comes to relationships, I wish I would have known that. I wish I would have applied that more when I was in high school. I really wish I would have. I wish I would have known that better. So I'm imparting that to you. Would you do something, you guys? Whether you're in middle school, whether you're in high school, whether you're in a relationship, not in a relationship, would you apply the spiritual compatibility test with anybody that you're thinking of and interested in? Would you do that? Okay, I want to say this too before I go further. Our policy here at FSM has always been this. When it comes to dating, when it comes to courting, that kind of a thing, we do not endorse any one of those. Here's what we say. Whatever your parents say, that's what it needs to be for you. If your parents say, it's fine if you date one-on-one, then we say, great. Have great boundaries. Do it in wisdom. Praise God. If your parents say, we don't want you to date, we want you to court, then we say, hallelujah, courting's awesome. Go for it. If your parents say, you're too young to date, you're not going to date, we say, hallelujah, amen, do what your parents say, all right? So just want to throw that out, just want to clear it up, okay? But I would say this, whether you're in a relationship or not, at some point you will be. At some point you will be, okay? Maybe you'll be 70, but you will be, all right? And you're going to remember me and you're going to say, well, I'll be dead by then probably. And you'll say, man, I remember those tests and now that I'm 70, I'm going to apply them. Spiritually compatible test is the most important test, but it is not the only test. It is not the only test. And many times, people will apply that test alone and think, I'm good to go. He's a Christian. She's a Christian. Hey, thank you, Lord. I've got someone. Okay? It's not the only test. And I learned this in those 7 years. So what's test number two? Test number two is this. The personality compatibility filter test. Okay, this is a good one. Now, I know that none of you would ever do this. I know you wouldn't do this. Because you're too smart, you're too mature, you're too godly, you're too holy, you're too well-behaved to do this. But I have heard of people out there, I've heard of people who pursue relationships and don't take into account the person's personality. I've heard of this before. I've heard of people like this. Ladies, are you listening, ladies? He can't just have a good-looking face. His personality needs to be compatible with yours. Fellas, as pretty as she might be, her personality needs to outshine her looks. Fellas, you with me? I had failed this test, and I tried pursuing a girl one time who, to be quite honest, personality-wise, was certainly not compatible with me. This person was not very nice to people. People weren't really a fan of this person. And yet, for some reason, I kind of avoided and looked past the personality filter. And I'm like, whatever. Like, that would have been a disaster. Guys, I know you do this. And ladies, I know you do this. We can overlook a person's personality because we're attracted to them. And sometimes when we're attracted to somebody, it tends to blind us to the reality of that person, of who they really are. Can I get an amen? Amen? Hopefully some of you have experienced this even a little bit now. The personality compatibility filter test, it covers a multitude of things. There's a lot of things I could throw under this umbrella. I'm gonna name a few. Things that fall under this category: attitude, habits, interests would fall under that. How they are around people. These all fall under the personality compatibility test. Now, I like a little attitude, but too much attitude? Come on now. Ain't nobody got time for that. Now, it takes time. This is not a test that you apply in a moment. Okay? It's not a test that you apply in a moment. This is a test that you actually apply, and it works itself out over time. Now, I don't mean a long period of time, but a little bit of time. Okay? I decided from past experience, I need to apply that test to Ariel. I need to apply that test to Ariel. So here's what we did to apply that test. We just started hanging out as friends. We just started hanging out as friends with no like no expectation or anything like that. We were just going to hang out, get to know each other in the context of friendship. And you know what? I started to really learn what her personality was like. All right? I started to learn what her interests were. I started to learn what her attitude was. And she fell in the category of just enough attitude. It was good. I liked it. Little attitude's good. So, do you want a good piece of advice? You ready? Somebody said no. Caleb, no. I know you want this, so I'm going to give this to you specifically. Here's the deal, you guys. Good piece of advice. Make sure you are friends with a person before you pursue a relationship. Make sure you are a friend with the person before you pursue a relationship. Boy, I have made the mistake of not doing that, and it really costs in the end. It's very painful. I'm going to explain a little bit more about that later on, of why that foundation of friendship is so, so important. So when I applied this test, here's the questions I asked myself, okay? Here's some of the questions that apply to that test. Are you ready? Here we go. Is friendship with her, talking of Ariel, natural? Was it natural? Did it just seem to flow? Was it comfortable? Did it feel forced and awkward? And my answer was, it was very natural. It was not forced. I actually enjoyed being around her. That was good. Does she have a good attitude towards others? Yes. Felt she had a good attitude towards others. She's doing well. She's doing well so far. Do we have similar interests? Okay. Do we like similar things? I like to be around people. Does she typically, for the most part, enjoy being around people? The answer to all this stuff was yes. Here's what I learned. I learned in those 7 years of being silly, I learned that the personality test is really a test for friendship. It's the test for friendship. And guys, here's why this is so, so, so important. If you want a relationship that's worth it, if you want a relationship that's actually worth it, the foundation has got to be friendship. It has to be friendship. I have learned that when this test is ignored, something else will take the place of that foundation. Every relationship will have a foundation of some kind. Every relationship will. If it's not friendship, then attraction will become the foundation. So what that means is this, is that if attraction is the foundation, that means that as long as you are attractive to me and I'm attractive to you, this thing's going to work out. It's going to be good. But the second you lose your attractiveness or vice versa, this thing's going to end. All right? If friendship is not the foundation, then need becomes the foundation. In other words, I need you to make myself feel good. I need myself, Or I need you to validate myself, to give me security. And as long as you're there and I feel that and I'm getting that, then this relationship's good. And the second it's gone, this relationship's done. Final one, sex. Sex will become a foundation for a relationship if friendship is not. And then what that relationship becomes is just a mutual back and forth of that. Not healthy. Friendship must be the foundation. Friendship must be the foundation. I learned that. Final test. It is the character compatibility filter test. Now, I knew from those 7 years, I knew that I needed some kind of test. I knew I needed a test that would get to the heart of what was in the heart of somebody. That was like a preacher would say that and most people would say amen. Let me try that again. I needed a test that could get to the heart of what was in the heart. Come on. All right. Good. Believe it or not, I learned this in my 7 years. A person you're pursuing a relationship with could actually pass the first two tests and fail at this test. It's very odd to think about. They could actually pass the spiritual compatibility, they could pass the personality and fail when it comes to the character one. Here's how I learned this. I knew a girl once, not the same girl from last week, but I did meet her at Starbucks, okay? And by the way, off the record, please don't think of me as like some guy who just was like dating every girl in sight, okay? I only have a handful of like actual illustrations to pull from, but I learned a lot during these. I'm a wise person trying to glean as much as I can. Back on the record. Okay. This girl, she passed test number one. She passed the spiritual compatibility test. She actually worked at a church. She was very involved in a church. She was pursuing God. I was like, okay, great. She passed the test. She passed test number two. Her personality was pretty good. I mean, we got along well. She was fun. She was a person I could be a friend with. But she failed test number three. And she failed test number three because as I got to know her, I realized that staying sexually pure and moral was not something that was a high value to her at all. It was not something that she really valued or felt that that was something that she needed to abide by. And so despite having passed those two tests in my mind, this test was failed. And that's when I learned, man, there's got to be a test that you put, there's got to be a test to test what's on the heart, what's going on inside. And the Bible talks about this so often, you guys. The Bible talks so much about how you can project as much as you want on the outside, but what's in the heart? What's in the heart will eventually come out. The true nature of what's in the heart will come out. Matthew says this, you will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but diseased trees bears bad fruit. Luke records it this way, and these are the words of Jesus. He says this, the good person out of the good treasure in his heart, say heart, produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The principle of this verse is very simple, you guys. It's this, what's going on inside you will be reflected outside of you. Thank you. What's going on inside of you will be reflected outside of you. So here's some of the questions I asked when I was applying that test. What do other people say about her? Are they saying positive things? Or has she left a trail of messy relationships and hurt people? That can indicate somebody's character. And when I looked at that, I said, people say good things about her. She's had great friendships in the past. I asked this, does she compromise and then make excuses? Does she compromise and then make excuses? Do I catch her in a lie and she doesn't repent of that? Just a white lie. Do I catch her being dishonest? Do I catch her cheating? Do I catch her saying things? And then there's no repentance. Does she compromise? That can speak of what's going on in the heart. It speaks of character. Final question I asked was, what is coming out of her mouth? What are the things that she's speaking? Does she complain about people behind their back? Does she bad talk people behind her back? Or is she speaking words of life? Because what does the Bible say? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A person who's pouring forth that kind of stuff, there's something going on inside. And maybe that means there's something character-wise that's just not working. Something character-wise that needs to grow up. Something character-wise that needs to be changed. 7 years. It took 7 years to figure out these tests. Now, I don't want to give you any kind of impression that Ariel and I have like some magical, perfect relationship and you should be just like us and do exactly what I did. Not at all, okay? Not at all. I'm just trying to give you some wisdom that I've gleaned from my mistakes. It took me 7 years to discover the test. But like I said, I wish I would have known about these. I wish I would have been able to apply these earlier because I think it would have helped me. Spiritually compatible test, personality compatible test, character compatible test. I hope these can help you. In your small groups tonight, you guys are going to talk about those a little bit more. And maybe you'll even come up with some different questions. Maybe you'll even come up with a different filter, a different test that you should apply. Final thing I want to talk about, and then I'm going to close. That is how, so those tests help you decipher who might be somebody worth pursuing a relationship with. But now I want to turn it to you. I want you to look inside at yourself. Okay, look inside at yourself. Y'all looking inside? Good. How do you prepare yourself for a good relationship? How do you do it? Good relationships are less about finding the right person. They are more about becoming the right person. How are you going to become the right person? How are you going to become the right person? Let me tell you three things that I learned that you can apply. They're really simple, but three ways that you can prepare yourself to have great relationships in the future. First one is this: release this part of your life to Jesus. Really easy. Release this part of your life. And this part of your life that I'm talking about is relationships. You know, too often you guys, we try to hold this part of our life very, very close. We try to make sure that like we're gonna make it happen and we're gonna force things to happen. Okay? We really try to own it and we obsess about it. And we worry about it. And we think about it. Am I going to be with somebody? Or at some point, if you're going to be really ready for a relationship, there's got to come a point when you've got to release that. Literally, release it, let it go, and say, God, I fully, fully, fully trust you. I talked to the young adults last week, and we were talking about relationships. And I talked to them about how when we release this kind of thing to God, we're actually building our trust muscle. Because trust is like a muscle. And if you don't activate it, sometimes it gets weak. And when our trust gets weak, we start to worry. And when we start to worry, we start to take things on ourselves. And then things spiral. But when we say, God, I fully trust you and I release this to you, you do whatever you want in this area of my life. Your trust muscle's built. Your trust muscle's built. And then you're able to really give it up and say, God, whatever you want, your will be done. And you know what? You're far more prepared in that moment. You're far more prepared for what God might bring you. Number two, second way you can prepare is to reclaim your identity. Reclaim your identity. You guys, when it comes to relationships, very often our identity, our confidence comes from the person who we have on our arm. Whether they're good or bad, our confidence, our identity, our security comes because we're in a relationship and because I have somebody. So I'm pretty cool and I feel good about myself. And when we place our identity in a relationship, in a person, what happens is this: we actually become a slave. We become a slave to that relationship. We become a slave to that person. And you know what? Slaves, what's the identifying marks of a slave? They have no freedom. They have no control. They're at the whim of their master. You should be slave to no one. You should not be slave to a relationship. You should not be a slave to a girl. You should not be slave to a guy. I know that I personally fell into that trap. I fell into that trap of trying to place my confidence, my security in somebody else. So what do you have to do if you want to prepare yourself for a great relationship? You reclaim your identity. And what that means is this: you know and recognize and proclaim what your true identity is. Do you know what that is? You're a child of God. God loves you. You don't have to have a person to make you feel valuable because he has already given you value. He's told you that you're valuable. you release that part of your life of relationship, you reclaim your identity, and finally, you receive a life empowered by the Holy Spirit. Receive a life empowered by the Holy Spirit. What I mean is by that is this simply, you allow God to work in your life to make you who he wants you to be. When you submit your life to Jesus, the Bible tells us this, it's a fascinating, phenomenal thing that the Holy Spirit starts to come inside of you and change you and make you more like Jesus. And we can actually reject that. We can reject that a little bit. We can go back and try to hang on to the things of the past, or we can receive that and say, Holy Spirit, make me who you want me to be. So if you want to prepare for a great relationship, receive the Holy Spirit and let him start working stuff out in your life so that you are ready and prepared for the person that God will bring you.